We'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. Book of James. I do covet your prayers. I know, Brother Joe, you say that a lot, and I'm going to say it too, because I tell you what, since I've started, had this series laid upon my heart, I felt like I found out that I literally am in a war, in a battle. My mind goes blank. I sit and try to study sometimes, and I'll be up late at night trying to put all my thoughts together, and it's just like I got no mind at all. And not only that, but it's some things have been coming up in my life. I just appreciate if you would remember me from time to time. Pray, because I do think there is a need for this lesson. I think it's something that we need to be aware of. I mean, you look at the world around us and see how things are going. We ought to realize that that we are in a war, spiritual war. And as I've heard Brother Jim try to say so many times, that the problem in America is not financial. It is a moral problem. What it basically boils down to, it is a problem with our spirit, the spirit of this country. Is not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And we as a church, if we're not careful, we'll have that spirit. That spirit of Antichrist will be in the churches. And we're going to look at this eventually as we go through this. We're going to look at the mystery of iniquity, how it doth already work right now in our churches. You say in our independent Baptist churches, especially in our independent Baptist churches, anywhere where it's preaching the truth, you expect the enemy to come against it. That's who he's going to try to quieten down. If a church out there ain't telling the truth, the devil ain't going to mess with them much, you know. He's going to leave him alone. Let him be quiet. Let him, let them have their little Sunday meetings and all that stuff. Don't want to attack them. Get them all stirred up, you know. But buddy, I'm gonna tell you what. If you are trying to get the gospel out, Satan is going to come against it. And he's going to try to get in false prophets. He's going to try to get in false doctrine. He's going to get in, and the enemy will come against you. So we're going to be looking this morning. I'm going to quickly do a view of what we talked about last week. I told you that this study is hopefully going to be an examination of ourselves to see if we are able and prepared to go forth to war. In the book of Numbers, we looked at that in chapters 1. You find 1, 2, 20, 22, 24, 26. All these verses talked about those men of Israel that were able to go forth to war. And the only way we're going to be able to war a good warfare on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ is we got to be able. We have to be prepared. We have to have the ability, and that ability is, you ain't going to get it out of yourself. It's got to come from God. And the Lord shows us in this Bible how to prepare. Somebody asked me, he said, are you prepared? I doubt it. I doubt if I'm prepared. Are you prepared for this Sunday school lesson? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you prayed up. I said, well, I don't know that I'm prayed up. He said, are you confessed up? I tell you right now, Paul was wrong. He said he was chief of sinners. He was wrong. Right here stands the chief of sinners as far as I'm concerned. I thank God. Preacher said this morning, God's mercy is without end. It's everlasting. I'm glad, because if it wasn't for God's mercy, he would have to destroy me. If it wasn't for God's grace, I couldn't do anything for him. So just consider these things and ask yourself, are you ready for the spiritual war that's raging? Richard said this morning the devil jumped on him before he can get out the door, tried to keep him out of church. Don't think, hey, if you try to do something for God, whether if it ain't nothing but come to God's house and learn something, Satan is going to come against you. He's going to try to put a stop to it. And so we must first understand that we're in a war. If we're going to be prepared for war, we got to understand that we are in a war. There's been times in past that we was on the verge of war, and we didn't want to go to war. We didn't want to think about it. But war came upon this country anyway. We know what happened in World War II. We know what happened there at Pearl Harbor. We know also that submarines off our coast, ships being attacked, from Germany from time to time. We know that sometimes, and we were not prepared as a country to go forth to war, but after we saw the enemy, then we got prepared. So we got to see our enemies, and we got to understand that we have enemies, and we're going to look at one of those enemies today. So we must first understand we're at war, because a person that does not know that he has enemies will not prepare to face his enemies. A person that thinks he's at peace will not prepare for warfare. A person thinks he's at peace, he will not take up weapons and become skillful with these weapons. And as I said last week, I would not be prepared to go to Iraq or Iran or fight any kind of physical battle. I'm not prepared. I wouldn't know how to use the weapons. I'm not physically in shape to fight a war. But I'm going to tell you, we got to be in shape to fight this spiritual war. It takes exercise. The Bible says, bodily exercise profits little, so therefore exercise yourself unto godliness, and there's profit in all things for those who exercising themselves unto godliness. But in the book of James, where I'm going to start off, we're going to look at one of these enemies today in James chapter 4, in verses 4, we find the Lord, through the Apostle James, come out with this statement. He said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not?" Now, this is interesting. He's writing to the church. This letter ain't. I mean, the writings. Hey, how many of you expect lost people to run by and say, I need to study my Bible and see what God's got to say to me. Before you got saved, you might have from time to time picked up the Bible, because when you was little, somebody taught you to. But that thing set up on the shelf collecting dust. But here he is. He's addressing. He wrote a letter to the churches, and here's what he said: "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Now, he was an apostle to the Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation knew a whole lot about being adulterers. They'd committed adultery against God many times with other gods, and he's telling them right here, you need to look at yourselves and some of the things you're doing, some of the things you're taking up, some of the worldliness that you're taking up. And he said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." He said, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" In other words, he's saying, hey, the spirit in us, the spirit of God that's in us, hey, when we start messing around with the world, it don't like it. It's going to get envious. You cannot. That's the reason why we sang that song, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So there's got to be some obedience. There's got to be some desire to do what God wants us to do. And if we don't, then we're making ourselves we're taking up with the enemy. We're traitors. We're being willful. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Oh. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. He says, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Therefore the law was holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that that in me that is my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Now, you don't think the devil knows that? Do you not think that the world is able to have an influence on us? Paul said this. He said, "The things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I hate, that I do." You ever find yourself in that situation? You ever find yourself, somebody asked me, "Are you confessed up?" You ever find yourself in that situation? Hey, you better realize we're in a war. And one of the principal enemies we're going to have to face is the world. The world. Now, with that in mind, that the world is, and to be a friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. First John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading. And I better put these glasses on. And begin reading verses 14. "For I've written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, we're looking at some tribulational verses, but I tell you, the example is still true. The example for us is still true. We have a tendency to love the world. I drew a picture up here on the board for the young people to look at of a head and a mind and the things that we put in our mind. The things that we love is what we mind, you know. The Bible says, you know, this what we talk about is the heart, you know, that inner man. Well, the mind is the inner man, too. The heart and the mind, they go together. They work together. The mind is part of the heart as the emotions is part of the heart. And we could look at that inner man, your spirit. The kind of spirit you have is part of your heart. And so what you put in your mind, that's your treasure. That's what you love. I mean, some of you love your grandchildren. Amen? Huh? And you think on your grandchildren, how you might do things to help them and to please them and this, that. But, you know, and some of you love ACC basketball, you know. And, buddy, when ACC basketball comes around, boy, I mean, it's just all in you, you know. I mean, we eat up with it. There's a lot of things that goes in our mind. They're not exactly sinful, but there can be weights and problems in those things. Hey, and the Bible says, love not the world. And I asked this question. I said, let's put some things up here because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. I said, I want you to tell me some things you don't think would be in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe when ACC basketball comes around that the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, would be all worried about who's going to win the ACC tournament championship or the Final Four or the World Series or, what do you call that in football? Super Bowl. How many of you think Jesus Christ is going to be concerned about any of that? I'm just being honest. How many of you think that? He's that concerned about it. Some of us are eat up with fishing and hunting and all kinds of things. Are these things sinful? No. No, they're not. But the Bible says, love not the world or the things that's in the world. The Bible says, set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What kind of fisherman did Jesus Christ call Peter to be? Yeah, for men. But Peter said, I go fishing. Huh? Now, he was a believer. Wouldn't you say that Peter was a believer at that time? But Jesus said, once you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. See, he turned away. We can turn away, too. We can turn into the things of this world. And the Bible said that friendship with this world is enmity with God. I'm going to read something. I thought this was a good quote. Preacher read this to me, and he didn't know I was teaching on this. But this is what Charles Spurgeon said. I believe one reason why the Church of God at this present moment. Now, we're talking about early 1800s, ain't that correct? While the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. So we need to examine ourselves and see how much influence the world has over us. When I examine myself, you know what I find out? I'm weak. Terribly weak. I need to get more weak. Because the Bible said when I'm weak, then he becomes strong. I need to realize how weak I am. I need to pour myself out to God and say, as Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. The things I hate, that's the things that I'm doing. Oh, God. And then he come down. But in the very next chapter, it says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Christ Jesus. So when we get weak enough to realize that we are failing, maybe we'll look up and cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I'm wretched. I'm losing the battle. Will you come in and fight? I always hated that bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot. That's the problem right now. That's what's going on in our churches today. God is the co-pilot. We want him sat down beside of us while we run everything. And God's saying, hey, I'm a jealous God. And if you're going to be God, I ain't going to be God. And I'm not going to be there. So if you're going to be God, you be God. And you run the thing. And you're going to run it right off in the ditch because you ain't nothing but a drunken driver. But if you get off into the ditch and you turn to me and say, God, I can't drive. I'm a drunkard. I'm a drunkard in this world. It controls me. I need your help. Used to be... I ain't pointing no names at people, but, I tell you, one of the things that's in this world I love, and I guarantee you do too, good food. How many of us believe food controls us from time to time? How many of us have ever said, what you want to eat? The Bible said, take no thought of what you will eat or drink. What you want to eat, honey? Oh, I don't know. What do you want? And y'all go over 15, 20 minutes, and you can't think of nothing to eat. Be 10,000 restaurants in Salisbury, and we can't figure out what we want to eat. Now, that's preoccupation that is sinful. We're gluttons. We don't eat for strength. We eat for pleasure. And food is controlling us. There's been preachers that stood up, and I've heard them preach and rant and jump up and snort on liquor and beer and this, that, and the other thing, and their guts are out to here. Preach against drunkenness, and they're the biggest drunkards you ever met in your life. Because that food is controlling them. They're drunkards. And that ain't the only thing that we're drunken with. But simply, you know, we need to examine ourselves and see how the world is having its influence over us so we can yield it up to God, let Jesus Christ have His place, and make a difference in our lives. We need to understand who our enemy is and be able to face him. So, we know that here in John, it said, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. A lot of us have all kinds of stuff in our lives we need to get out, and we know it. We're too proud to admit it. Too proud to go to an altar. I don't mean coming down in front of church, but I'm talking about really going to God with the problems that we have. We're just not the pride of life. We don't want people to know oftentimes that we're failing. We need help. The Bible says, bury one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Most of us would be scared to death to tell anybody about our burdens. Because we don't trust people. We are, there's so many tattler wagons in our churches today full of all the little things that they've heard about this one and that one. Gossip. Long tongues. We can't even bear one another's burdens because we're afraid to tell anybody what our burdens are. If we're having a problem with something in our lives, if a man was to say, I have a problem with pornography, please pray for me. I got a problem, man, with tobacco or alcohol and stuff. I want to get it out of my life. For the most part, we'd be scared to tell anybody. You know why? He probably ain't even saved, you know. What's that got to do about whether you saved or not? Paul said, the things that I hate, those things I do. You think, I told, and I mean this with all my heart. If the worst thing, and I mean this, I'm not exaggerating. I mean it with all my heart. If the worst thing that I would ever do as a Christian would be to smoke and drink beer, I'd start drinking beer and smoking today. I'm telling you the gospel truth. That would be the worst things that I would ever, if I could trade off all the other things that I got in my life for drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette, I'd go get me a pack right after church, get me a six pack, and go home and get that done. Because that ain't the worst thing. The greatest sin in the Scripture, as far as I know, because it's the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You love your neighbor as yourself? You love your neighbor? Ask me if I love my neighbor as myself. He come over and mess in my yard. I had a neighbor this past week come over and cutting stuff out of my yard. You think I like that? I didn't like it. Who do you think you are? Come over in my yard. What difference did it make? I shut my mouth. I did something wise for a change. I just kept my mouth shut. He asked me if he could cut a tree down. I said, yeah, go ahead. Knock yourself out. I said, I'd love to have you cut that tree down. I got a woman that's giving me nothing but trouble. She's all the time coming over complaining about one thing or another thing. I got to watch myself. Ask me if I love him like I love myself. I don't try to find out what they need. I've tried to talk to them about the Lord in times past and got kind of, you know, snubbed off. Hey, that ought to tell me that they probably ain't saved. If I loved them as myself, then I'd try to do a little more, wouldn't I? Because I certainly don't want to go to hell. Do you? Don't talk about loving your neighbor as yourself. You're going to let them sit there and perish and go to a devil's hell. There's a lot of things worse, you know, than if I took up smoking and drinking, which I think that's bad, too, a bad testimony. And I ain't going to do it. But love not the world nor the things of the world. Now, not only, so you find that the world is enmity with God, to love this world and be a part of this world system. This world is an enemy of God. It's against God. Look on down here in chapter 3, same book, chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verses 3. It said, every man hath his hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. We read that over in Romans. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, praise God, to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now that's a different lesson, but I want to hit it quickly. You have a new creature in you. You're a new man. And that new man never sins. That's the one that's going to heaven. You got an old man in you. As that new man can never do anything wrong, that old man can never do nothing right. It can't do nothing right. Why? It's fallen. It hates God. You say, I don't hate God. Yes, you do. You got a nature that hates God. We ought to understand that. Man, there's things that we're reading this Bible, and if we'd be honest, that we don't like it when we read it. But that new man will bring us in subjection. It should. Because I got a new man that loves God. But I got an old man. Loves this world, loves the flesh, and buddy, and it was a child of the devil. And it's got to die. And we got to reckon that old man dead every day. We got to crucify that old man every day. But he that is born of God doth not commit sin, the Bible said. Now who's that talking about? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's in you, you know what I'm saying? And that's that new man. He's in you, and he's creating that new man after his likeness. We're in him, praise God. He's in us. And boy, that new man never does anything wrong. Now, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's that new man. Thank God for that. One of these days I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to drop that robe of flesh. And buddy, and I'll get that new glorified body. That there's no sin in it. And that new man that has no sin in it is going to go in that new body that has no sin in it. That hope of redemption. Hey, that hope of the resurrection. That blessed hope that we're looking for. I don't know about you. I get thinking about that. I get happy. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I get tired of me. But praise God, I'm going to get rid of it one day. I'm going to get in Him. Amen. I'll get that new body. And after that, then I can worship God the way I really want to. I can live for God the way I really want to. Amen. But notice this. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So, in this world, we have children of the devil. These are enemies of God. These are enemies of God. And you can expect those enemies of God, they're not going to help you in your walk with God. You got to be aware of that. You got people you work with, you need to love them, because the Bible says love your enemies and do good to them that despitefully use you and all that kind of stuff. But you better realize that these people are enemies of God. They're of this world. And the Bible said, for the world heareth them. But the world don't hear you. But the world heareth them. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world, and these are his children. So you got to realize, hey, you're going to be around these people. You better not let them be an influence over you. He said, well, I'm going to get around and rub elbows with them, and my goodness is going to... No, that ain't what's going to happen. That ain't what's going to happen. If you ain't careful, they're going to pull you down. You need to stay prayed up. You need to stay close to God and let God guide you when it's time to talk, when it's time to help, when you're dealing with the children of this world. I don't think, you say you think you better than other. No, I don't. I don't think I'm no better than they are. Only thing better about me is I've been saved. I got a new man, which is Christ Jesus. David Leslie is just as sorry as he ever was. That old David Leslie, just as sorry as he ever was, he's not a bit better. Sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy because I find two minds inside of me warring. They don't have that. They got one mind, boy. Whatever makes me feel good, I'm doing it, you know? Huh? Well, we got that mind, too. We want to do what makes me feel good, too. But we also got a mind that said, no, I got to please God. I want to please God. I want to do what's right. Now look over here in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Get your place there, and then I want you to turn to Luke. Matthew Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. You know, we had a lot of problems going on today, and we're always talking about, the country's going to the devil, and this, that, and the other thing, you know, and everything's falling apart. But look here in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 8. It says, again the devil taketh him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, up into an exceeding high mountain, show him all the kingdoms of the world. How many of the kingdoms of the world? How many kingdoms of the world? Would that be the United States? All the kingdoms of the world. And this is what he said. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now look over here in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Again, Look in verses 5. And the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Who did he say these kingdoms belong to? They were his. They were his. He is the God of this world. At this present time, this world is in enmity of God, and this world belongs to him, and the governments and the principalities of this world belong to the devil. He's the one that sets them up. He's the one that tries to put the people in the power that he wants. You ain't going to find too many leaders in government positions that know God. I ain't saying that there ain't any, because God, you know, we know in the Old Testament, all those kings, you know, the Bible said that God turns the head of the king whichever he will. But a lot of those kings that he turned their heads on, they still weren't his. They still weren't believers. They still wasn't right with God. And God is in control. Yes, no doubt. God is in control because God is the God of all gods. Satan is the god of this world, but God is God. Amen? There's a lot of little gods running around. But God is the God of gods. Nebuchadnezzar said that, didn't he not? He is the God of Daniel, he's the God of gods. And there is none other God but him. He is the God. The rest of them are just little gods, devils. So, don't expect the governments to get on our side. Don't get too out of shape when you find the world falling apart and going to the devil. But we have a tendency, do we not? What you going to do? What you going to do when this nation totally turns its back and says, we're done with this God stuff. We're cutting this out. We're getting it out of here. We're done with it. What you going to do? You going to say, oh, well, what's the use? That's the way a lot of people act. Can't do anything anymore. Since when did you think they were ever on our side? When did you think the United States was the Savior of the world? There ain't but one Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't but one entity in this world that is in the fight with this world, the flesh and the devil, and it never was the United States of America. It was God, it was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when this thing comes undone and falls apart and it goes completely to the devil, it's not time to quit. Boy, we ought to be able to shine then for sure. But you're going to have to get prepared for it. You ought to believe it. For years, I tried to tell my children, we got this mentality in America. Boy, if you live for God, boy, things, you know, God's going to work everything out. Everything's going to be wonderful. You know, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about, you know, any kind of problem. My Bible says that we're made as sheep for the slaughter. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus said, take up your cross. If you're going to be a warrior for Christ, you're going to have to be a suffering warrior. You're going to have to be a warrior, that's not winning the battle in the eyes of this world. You got to be the one that is dying in this world. You got to be the one that looks weak and beggarly, because God has said he had chosen the weak and the beggarly things of this world to confound the mighty things of this world. But we want to be on top. We want to be pushing the devil down with our foot. We want to be changing the course of this world's history. Let me tell you, the end of this world, it is destruction. You're not going to save this world. Years ago, I thank God for over the years, God will give me a little something that will stick with me. I remember J. Vernon McGee saying one time, years ago, listened to him on Through the Bible. He made this statement. He said, fellas, we're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're here to do a little fishing. Hey, you're not going to fix this world. This world is not going to get fixed. This world is going to be destroyed, praise God. Jesus Christ is going to come down. He's going to put His foot on it. And He's going to govern it for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And at the end of that, it's going to be totally burnt up. But if you think it's... if you're looking at this world as being friendly toward us, this nation as being friendly to us, it's not going to happen. It's our enemy. The children of this world are our enemy. The governments of this world are our enemy. Finally, and all that's in the world, I don't care what it is, not only the children, not only the world, but all that's in the world is our enemy. I mean, the entertainments of this world, they're not designed for the most part to make us better children, better servants for God. When you go to the television, don't expect the television to have something on there that's going to make you, if I was to write television on here, TV, that going to make us a better Christian? Going to make us walk better for God? Huh? Sports? Huh? The sports of this world system? Going to make us better for God? Huh? I can just go down all kinds of lists. You know, media. Boy, Jim, the media ever get on God's side and the whole time he was involved? Never got it now. Might be one or two, but they ain't very, very few, ain't they? Just like government officials, they're very few. They're very few. We got to understand this. We got to be on our guard. Because we'll take all these things in, and we'll feed on them. And it's just like that old story I heard again the other week. Old Indian chief, and every week they'd have dog fights. He had a big old white dog, and he'd have a big old black dog. And old chief, he'd bet on one dog or another. And the dog he bet on always won. And they said, how is it you always able to know which dog is going to win? He said, when I want a white dog to win, I feed white dog. And I starve the black dog. When I want a black dog to win, I feed the black dog and I starve the white dog. So one of them will be weak and the other will be strong. You know who's going to win? One we feed. And we feed in this world. Who's going to win? The world. The world. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That ever terrify you? It does me. Ever terrify you? I only got one hope. Years ago, I heard Larry Brown preach a message, break off sins by righteousness. And I think about that sometimes. I said, Lord, I said, you know, you said redeem the time. I've messed up yesterday, but I always got today, don't I? So now I can sow in some righteousness. Huh? And if I sow in righteousness, I'm going to break those sins off. I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm getting that out in my life. Oh, God, help me. Lord, help us to put off this world. Lord, help, because we need to. Lord, like old Spurgeon said, I'll read that again. I believe one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.